1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to give you a lot of data today, but only to make one point. You're only responsible for one point. I don't want you to be freaked out, okay? There are many different ways to receive your healing. Healing is paid for. It was paid for through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, through His sacrifice. There are many different ways to receive that healing. The way to receive healing, that's what we're talking about, and the many different ways. Now, when you go downtown, there's a dress shop there that has beautiful dresses, and they always color coordinate them. Some windows, sometimes they're all green, and sometimes they're all purple, and sometimes at Christmas they're all red, and there's seasons where all the black dresses are in the window. And it doesn't matter what color you pick, you're going to be very well dressed there. They're beautiful, always beautiful, beautiful dresses, and the colors and material, you buy the green one or the red one or the purple one or the silver one or even the blue one, and you're going to look beautiful because the dresses are beautiful. And it doesn't matter how you get healed, as long as you get healed, you pick a way where your faith functions better. There is usually a way where your faith functions with more perfection, with more maturity than some other way. We're not trying to duplicate anybody, copy anybody. We're trying to figure out what works for us. Now, there's some colors. I don't do well in pastels. Hot pink looks better than light pink. There's some things that I would avoid just because I know who I am. Yellows and golds. No, we won't be doing that. I did have a yellow blazer. I'm a blazer person. And years ago, and lemon yellow I can do, but the other shades, you know, I fade into the horizon. In fact, I used to model for a little dress shop. I know you don't believe that, but that's the truth. And they put me in this beige dress, which is a color I cannot do. So you have to find out what works for you. Healing works. What works for you? Well, I put the dress on. It's a lovely, lovely dress, and they're getting us ready for the show. And she said, beautiful, beautiful, take it off. We'll let somebody else wear it. Because she realized instantly, that color made me look like I just got up out of the coffin, you see. It's not a color that I do well. I don't do beige. Red I like. I can do grass green, hunter green. Pale green, not so much. See, I have to find out what works for me. Now, when it comes to healing, there are a lot of things that will work, but you have to find out what works for you. Now, there are two broad categories, faith and gifts. Those are the two things that the Scripture covers, healing by faith and healing by gifts. Now, let me give you this word, and I'll tell you why. Manifestation. We call them the gifts of the Spirit, but they're not all gifts. Did you know that? They're all manifestations. They're all ways that the Spirit manifests Himself. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll show you what is written here. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversity of operations, but it's the same God which works all in all. Some writers believe, and I'm in agreement, that these nine things that are manifested by the Holy Ghost, some are gifts, some are administrations, and some are operations. For that reason, we are more correct to call them manifestations. It's the way that the Holy Ghost reveals Himself. These nine are in three categories, and one of those categories includes gifts of healings, which is in verse 9. To another, faith, which is not saving faith. It's called by the Amplified special faith. Saving faith comes by hearing. This faith comes because God gives it to you. Gifts of healings, in the Greek, it's always plural. I believe that's because you go to the doctor, they have different specialists. If you see ministers minister with gifts of healing, some function better in one arena. One minister always, if you were deaf, he could lay hands on you and you'd receive your healing. That was just his gift. That was where the healing flowed through him. He didn't do other things as well. One minister, somebody came to him and wanted hands laid on them to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he said, oh, no, that's my wife. You see my wife down there? You ask her to do that. She does that better. She was more gifted than he was in that arena. You know, if you go to a doctor, they're going to send you to 10 others, you know, because everybody has a specialty. Well, that's why I believe it says gifts of healings. You see that in the Scripture. We could prove that in the book of Acts where it says talks about palsies, people with palsies being healed through the ministry of Philip. That obviously was the leaning of his gift, was palsy and those kind of disorders. And so we're not worried about that as long as the manifestation brings healing, which it does. Now, here's the thing about the manifestations of the Spirit, or if you want to call them the gifts of the Spirit, we don't oppose to that, but I want you to see the Scripture as it's written. In verse 11, all these works that one and the self-same Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. It is the Holy Ghost that decides who is anointed, what manifestation is active. He sends. We cannot order a manifestation. We cannot order a gift. If you invite me to your birthday party, you don't know if I'm coming or not. And you don't know if I might come empty-handed, which I wouldn't come empty-handed. And if I wasn't coming, I'd send my present because I'm a great present sender. I'm not a very good attender. You can just know that. But I'm a great sender, and I like to send. That's fine. But see, the Holy Ghost decides, and the anointing comes on a man, and these gifts are delivered through one man or woman to another man or woman. They're delivered. And it's not that they carry that gift constantly. They can just pull it out of a hat. But it comes upon them. They recognize the move of the Spirit, and they move in that arena. But it is as the Spirit wills. The Holy Ghost decides. You're not deciding, and you're not ordering or commanding. It comes when God sends it by the Spirit. Now, let me show you that in John chapter 5 and show you how this functioned in the ministry of Jesus. This man had been sick 38 years. Jesus came to him, verse 6, saw him lie, knew he had been a long time in that case. The only way Jesus knew that, you remember we covered this, Jesus was a man anointed. He was functioning as a man. He was God, but in ministry he was a man anointed. The only way he knew this man had been there a long time was because the Holy Ghost would have told him that. Now, he said, you've been here a long time. Do you want to be made whole? And he says, I can't. You know, I haven't got anybody to help you. The first one in the pool always got healed. And without a helper, he knew he'd never be the first one in. He knew this is not going to work. I'm not going to be healed. And what did that tell you right off? This man's not. There's no faith here. We're not in faith. He's already declared, you know. Well, Jesus didn't pay attention to that. Verse 8, he says, rise, take up your bed and walk. This is obviously a gift or a manifestation, a gift of healing. Now, when you come down to he carried his bed on the Sabbath, which was against the law. And so they asked him in verse 12, what man is it which said unto thee, take up your bed and walk? And he said, he that was healed wist not who it was. That tells you, if he doesn't know it's Jesus, that he had not heard him preach or teach. If he had heard him preach, heard him teach, he would have known it was Jesus. He would have known he was anointed of the Father, because that's the sermon Jesus was preaching. I am anointed. The Holy Spirit's upon me and I am anointed. He would have heard that sermon. He didn't know that. He didn't know it was Jesus. There's no faith involved here at all. It was just given to him. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is the one who instigates gifts. He's the one who sends these manifestations, and he sent it. And Jesus was aware that it was sent, and he responded to what the Holy Ghost was doing. Now, here's an interesting part we just throw in for free. Verse 14. Afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Now, sickness and disease is in the world because of Adam. But sometimes it's in our world because of us. And obviously that's the case here. Now, that's not always the case. The disciples came in chapter 9, asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither. It wasn't a case of sin. Sometimes it's always Adam's sin. We don't want to help Adam out. We want to walk with God, walk in obedience to God, stay away from sin and weights, which would be a hindrance to us. And that's what you see here. Jesus is warning him. This is a word we covered, the chastening of the Lord, and this is really a word of chastening. Chastening is not a disease. It's an exhortation. It's a word of warning. It's a word of rebuke. And so he's telling me, you don't want to go back to where you were. You don't want to live like you were. You'd be making a mistake. Thank God for Jesus. Now, this is all in the manifestations. Now, there are five porches of people here. That's the only one healed that we have record of. Why? Because that's the only thing the Holy Ghost said. Now, you can step out beyond the Holy Ghost, but you're going to fall flat on your face. You have to obey God. And that's what Jesus was doing. He said, I do nothing of my own. He said that in John several times. I mean, he didn't originate anything. He's not deciding what to do and what not to do. He's not writing doctrine. He's absolutely obedient to the Father as the Holy Ghost brings him the word of the Father. And we've covered those things. And so I just want you to see the gifts function as the Spirit wills. Now, one man here told me he'd injured his knee, and he had made up his mind that he'd come to church and pastor would say, I want to pray for somebody today that injured his knee. I don't know why he had that in his mind, but he did. He told me that. Well, it didn't happen. Because you can't tell God what to do. I mean, try that if you want, but I'm telling you, it won't work for you. And so it didn't happen. So he said he was disappointed, but he came back. He thought he'd give pastor a second chance, you know. And so he came back. And he came back three times. It never did happen. And he was so discouraged. He went out to his car. He's a man of faith, a man who's been in the Word, a man who knows the Word, who maybe should have known better than to order his own gift because it won't work. He said he was going towards his car and he hit that knee. And he said, well, in Jesus' name, I know I'm healed. It was paid for. Knee, you're healed. And instantly his bones clicked and cracked and he was healed. See, he could have had that by faith 3 weeks ago, but he's waiting on a gift, which didn't come. So we're not going to wait on any gift. We're glad when they come. Gifts are more usually for the sinner and the backslidden church. You don't need a gift. You know God. You know the covenant of God. You can use your faith. It's just better. Faith works for everybody. Now look at John 15. Verse 7, you know, 1 Corinthians says the gifts are as the Spirit wills. Now, this verse doesn't say that. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you want and it'll be done. Now, here's the key. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, if I'm in the Word, I know the will and plan of God. So I'm not going to ask for anything dumb, anything ungodly, irrespectful, because I'm in the Word. He's in me, and I'm in the Word. He says, so you can ask me anything you want. Now, that's the function of faith. Everything that Jesus bought and paid for is available to you. It comes to you by faith. If we don't reach out by faith, we don't receive. But it's not because God didn't want us to have it. It's because we weren't active in faith. We have an active part. We have to do something to receive what's paid for. The gifts, it doesn't matter what you do, God does what He wants to. You know, and God's pretty smart. He knows what to do. This is good news, isn't it? I've been reading Isaiah this year. That's just in my own time. That's just for me. And there's several verses that says God always does what's right. I love that. He knows what's right. The ministry of Katherine Kuhlman was a ministry of manifestations or gifts. She could preach on the second coming in 25,000, you know, in huge auditoriums. It's full. And hundreds would be healed. Because Holy Ghost came. He just came. And I don't know why she had that kind of ministry. I do know why, because God gave it to her. But it was mainly a ministry not of faith, but of gifts. I watched some of the, you can get some of the videos, and I watched the video, and there was a man who's deaf, cute little man, and he actually came with his friend, and he was just going to help his friend. His friend, she asked everybody at the end of her sermon, which was not on healing, anybody that got healed while she was preaching this sermon to come forward, she wanted to talk to him. And so there was a long line. And his friend wanted to get in that line, but his friend was feeble. And so he decided he'd help his friend up there. So he's just in line with his friend. He's not in line for his own benefit. And when Catherine Kuhlman perceived that, she talked to the friend. She got to him before he could move out of the way because he just was actually helping his friend. Catherine Kuhlman said, and what do you want? She's kind of that kind of a person. He said, I don't want anything, ma'am. I'm a scientist. This won't work. She said, well, what do you really need, though, if it did work? And he said, well, I've been partially deaf. I can't hear. She said, but you're hearing me. And he said, I am hearing you. So you must have been healed. Oh, no, he said, that won't work. It won't work. I'm not healed. It won't work. But you can hear me. Oh, yeah, he said. He said, ma'am, I'm a scientist, and I know this stuff doesn't work. Whatever you're doing, it won't work. She said, but you can hear. Yeah, isn't that funny? He said, I can hear. See, there wasn't any faith there. He's not in faith. Why'd God do that? You know, God does one miracle and five people stand up and receive by faith. It's an amazing thing. Five people realize God is big. He is great big. And they stand up and they believe they receive. You know, it said this man at the pool had been there 38 years. Now, how many people do you think knew him? And when he got up and walked off, and it says he was laying down, so obviously he couldn't walk. He got up and walked off and was totally healed. How many people do you think noticed? How many think of you stood up and realized, hey, that's what the gifts do in the world. Some writer said they're the dinner bell. We don't know anything about dinner bells, but on the farm, they had a bell on the back porch, and they served their big meal to the farmhands in the middle of the day. And so when it was ready, they'd ring the bell so they'd all come. And you go to ring the healing bell, and people come. They come to see, you know, maybe there's something to this God thing. And they'll come, and they'll listen, and they'll get born again. There's some things that weren't designed for the church to heal themselves with. That's just the truth. And gifts of healing is in that category where they're more for the sinner and the backslider than they are for the church. Now, it says, ask what you will. Now, look at Matthew 15. Let me show you where that worked. Jesus said, you can ask what you will. Manifestations, that's what the Spirit wants. That's what He sends. That's what He orders. Because God is always right. He knows what to do. He doesn't need our advice or help. Now, this woman came on behalf of her daughter, verse 21, chapter 15. She said her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. You come down. Jesus didn't hear it, didn't even pay attention to her at the beginning. And finally He said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's verse 24. In other words, I'm not helping you, lady. Actually, He's prompting her to stand up in faith. Verse 28, when she did receive by faith, He said, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto thee even as thou or you will. Whatever you want. Not what the Spirit wants. Not what I want. See, because she's asking for something that's within the will of God. You ask for anything within the will of God, anything purchased by the cross, you can receive. It's whatever you ask for. If you don't ask, you probably won't get it. You probably won't receive. See, you ask because you believe to receive. Now, He said, whatever you want. Now, in the category of faith, you have to decide what God has done for you, and you have to place your order and stand firm on what you've said and what you believe He's done. And it's not the will of the Lord be done, as if it's some wishy-washy sort of almost thing. It's the will of the Lord as stated. By Jesus' stripes you were healed. He sent His word and healed you. No weapon formed against you prosper. That's the will of the Lord. And so once I know that, then I say, okay, then I am healed, and I ask your Father to heal me. And I thank you that I received my healing. And then I have to stand. It's what I wanted. But it's what I wanted based on what I know He wanted. But He said, you choose. So if I don't choose anything, I'll stay sick. Or I'll stay broke. I'll stay without something I need because I didn't place my order. Now, you can't place your, you know, go down and to some restaurant to the, they call them, and I don't know why this comes to me, overseas they call them takeaways, to the takeaway window. and pick up an order that you didn't place. Now, there's one restaurant in town we like to dine in, but they're slow. So we call and say, we'll be in. We'll have these items, 6:15. They always have them ready. I kind of like that. I don't know anybody else that does that, but they do that, and I appreciate that. It's not that they're slow. It's just that the order that we order takes a little extra time. Well, I like that. Now, when I go there, because I ordered it, it's there. It wasn't what they wanted. They wanted me to have anything I wanted. They gave me the whole menu. They don't care what I order. They want me to have it all. But I made a specific order. This is what we want. Another day, I was really busy right up until the last minute, and I told my sister, call down there and tell them she's never done that before. Give them your name. Tell them you want this and this, and then whatever you want, add that to it, and we'll be there at 6:15, and we're dining in, and they'll do that for you. Isn't that amazing? I love that. But it's what we wanted. Faith is whatever you want. Whatever's paid for, whatever God has done that you want. Be it unto me according to your will. He said to this lady, great is your faith. How does faith work? Faith is for whatever you want. Now look at Matthew 8. Let's run through these so you'll get it. These are the different ways that faith can receive. Pick the red dress, the green dress, the purple dress, the gray dress. Whichever functions better for you. Now this man in Matthew 8 functioned through the word. He came on behalf of his servant, verse 5. Jesus said in verse 7, I will come and heal him. No doubt Jesus was going to come and lay hands on him. And the centurion answered verse 8, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. This is the highest realm of faith. When you can just believe what God said, you and God said, I know you healed me and I believe that. And you stand planted in faith. There isn't anything higher than that. Now, because we're physical beings, laying on of hands is the most frequently used in the New Testament in the ministry of Jesus because physical beings like to be touched. It encourages them. It helps their faith. And God gave us that method because He loves us. You don't have to shoot for the stars. You don't have to walk on the water. You can sit by the pool and dangle your feet. God gives us all these methods. But see, He said, speak. Now, here's what's interesting, what we've not seen. I am a man under authority. He did not say, I am a man of authority. He did not say, I have authority. What did He say? I'm under authority. So somebody over him had given him authority, was backing him up. And he said, when I tell my soldiers to go, they go and come and they come. And the reason they do is because there was somebody of authority over him who was backing him. You see that? Now, he said that to Jesus. I'm under authority. In other words, he knew Jesus ministering as a man on the earth is under the authority of the Father. He said, I know you're under authority like I'm under authority. When I say go, they go because somebody's behind me. Now, you get that policeman out in the middle of the road and he holds out his hand. You know, you can run over him. He can't stop you. But he is under authority and there are people with him, behind him, back him up that will come to get you in force. See, and he's saying to Jesus, I know you're under the authority. I know you're under authority. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, look at Proverbs 4. Speak the word. The highest realm of faith. But if I can't get that high, I'll do something else. You know, if God says there's one door and only one, He wouldn't give me seven methods. There are seven things we can basically see. Because they'll all work. Depends upon where your faith is. Depends upon what you have confidence in. Now, this is the power of the word. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Notice, pay close attention. Incline your ear. Listen carefully. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Stay focused. Keep them or guard them in the middle of your heart. For they are life to those that find them and health or medicine to their flesh. The word of God is life and health. It's medicine. Therefore, if I say speak the word only, I begin to speak the word. God and I, going over the promises, standing firm and planted because God has said. And I'm not wavering. The physical senses do not declare my healing. My faith declares my healing, and the physical senses must line up with my faith. And so if I choose this high realm, you know, at any time I'm reading, meditating the Word, life comes. I told you a couple weeks ago they did in Kids Zone. Our Joel takes photographs. You've seen him with the camera all the way around the church. And there was a picture of a guy in Kids Zone. I could see the children looking down like that, and I couldn't tell what it was. So he has this camera, and he's watching the Bible down there. And Joel said, he said, this Bible has life, and when it moves, I'm snapping a picture. He did that to teach the children, but I believe adults would profit mightily to know when I'm reading, it has life, it has health. It's working. It's not that I feel like it's working. I know it's working. God said it would work. Now look at Hebrews chapter 4. You're not, when you read the word, not just doing your duty. Doing what you should do, what you must do. You're having a drink of water for the day. Verse 12, you know the word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Different words are used. The word quick we don't use like that. It has to do with life. It says the word is living, active, energetic, full of life, full of power, effectual. So anytime I'm reading the word, meditating the word, and standing on the word, the power of the word is working in me. Jesus said the words are spirit. Well, the word is spirit. And when I'm reading, meditating, it impacts my spirit. It goes into my spirit. And from my spirit, it goes out into my flesh and affects my flesh. The reason you don't know or know you're healed by physical senses is because it doesn't start in the body. It starts in the spirit. A lot of times God is working mightily in the spirit. And you say, well, I'm not healed. One lady came and asked for prayer, and I prayed for her. And the minute I finished praying, she said, well, that didn't work. She did. Well, she said, do that again. So I thought, you know, I'll just do it again, you know. So I did it again. She said, well, it still didn't work. Well, she's looking for 2 goosebumps in a row or something. Yeah. She's looking for some physical sensation, but it isn't physical. It's first of the spirit. Healing is spiritual. Healing is in the spirit. You believe the word. The word is spirit. The word has life. It's active. It's energetic. It's going to pour into your spirit, from your spirit into your body, and it is working. And you can just believe that and receive that, and you don't need laying on hands. You don't need anointing with oil. You don't need anybody to pray for you, although you can do any of those things if that's where your faith is. But believe the word, you understand. Now, laying on hands, we covered last week in great detail. When you turn to Mark chapter 5, it said she'd heard of Jesus, verse 27. Well, she had to have heard that everybody lays hands on him, everybody he lays hands on, everybody touches him is healed, because that's where her faith was. She said, if I touch him, I'll be healed. She had to have heard that or seen that. And so you can see her statement of faith. If I touch him, I shall be whole. Not I might be, I could be, I hope this will work, give it a shot, you never know. She said, I shall be. I shall be. Now, this is a different realm of, but it's still by faith. He said to her, verse 34, daughter, your faith made you whole. So the reason the power flowed out of him, laying on of hands causes the power, the anointing to flow from one vessel to another. And that power begins to affect a healing and a cure. He said, verse 30, Jesus immediately knowing himself that virtue or power, that's the Greek word power, had gone out of him. See, the power of God flows. It's like electricity. It flows. It moves. And it comes in measurable quantities. We know that because Elisha asked for a double portion of what Elijah had. So we know it has different quantities and it's measurable. Well, Jesus knew immediately when she touched him. And see, it was her faith that touched him. It was her faith that caused it to flow. Now look, let's look at another example in Matthew. This is just another realm. Most people are healed by laying on hands in the scripture. This is the blind man. They came to Jesus, Matthew chapter 9. They said, verse 27, Jesus departed thence. 2 blind men followed him, crying, saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Now, the fact that he called him the son of David is extremely significant because that's his messianic title. That means he knew Jesus was the son of God. He knew him as Messiah, or he wouldn't have called him son of David. And healing is a product of the mercy of the Lord. Then Jesus said, they came into the house, a blind man came to him. Jesus said, believe you, I'm able to do this. Why? Because he's going to touch their eyes. And if this works, it's because they believe in the transfer of the anointing. They believe in the laying on of hands. You see that? Absolutely essential. And we covered that well last week. Then he touched their eyes and he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So we don't have to worry what did it. It was their faith. He talked to them first. He said, do you believe this? To make sure that faith was on the line, so that this was going to function for them. So we have the laying on of hands. Now look at Mark 11, 24. Prayer works. You know this verse. What things soever you desire when you pray. What you desire when you pray. Believe you receive, you shall have. That gives you that prayer is going to work. It says whatever you desire. And a lot of times we don't know what we don't want, or we're religiously brainwashed till we say, God, if this is your will, heal me. If it's not your will. And that kind of prayer is not going to work. You got to find out what the will is, what your desire is. Your desire is whatever God desires. Your desire is whatever Jesus paid for. And he paid for your healing. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. Surely borne our grief, sickness, weakness, and distress, and carried our sorrow and pain of punishment. He did that. He already did that. So I come in, and if I don't know what my desire is, and sometimes I don't, thank God for praying in other tongues. Some situations, not in healing, but in other situations, I don't have a clue. I mean, whatever you want, God, that's what I want to pray, but that's not really scriptural. I go to James 1:5 and said, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, give to all men liberally and upbraids not. I said, God, I don't have wisdom in this situation. I don't know exactly what to do. I don't know exactly what's right. And then I pray in other tongues because then I can orchestrate the will of God, put it out there before the Father, and say the right thing. How would you like to say the right thing at the right time to the right place? So you'd have to pray in other tongues. Well, see, you got to determine your desire. Well, I desire healing. I know that. Healing's paid for. I know that. So when I go to pray, I'm praying specifically. I'm not praying in general. I'm praying specifically. And then it says, believe you receive that. So I'm like, when you pray this specific desire, that minute you believe you receive. That's when you believe. Not when it shows up. Not when you feel different. You know, I've heard all kinds of things. I've been doing this for almost 35, 40 years now. One man said he knew he was healed because his blood pressure was down today. Has absolutely nothing to do with it. Probably be up tomorrow. I know I'm healed because Jesus said so. Because the word declares it. And I won't declare it. And when you pray, he said, if you believe you receive, you will have it. Now look at Matthew where this is stated differently. This is the same incident but stated by Matthew. Verse 21-22. You know, you go to a dessert buffet. I'm not going to choose the chocolate cake. I like lemon, coconut. I'm not going to choose a lemon pie. It's too sweet. I don't do too sweet. However, I can be tempted, but not by lemon pie. I just can't go for lemon pie. My family, every time they run across a lemon recipe in a magazine or in the paper, they send it to the house. I had so many, I finally put in my file. I have in my recipe a file for just lemon. Just lemon. I put it in there. And every now and then, I bake something because that would be that's on the dessert bar. That's what I'd choose. Well, so you have to choose. You have to decide where your faith is going to function. Most people choose the chocolate. I can take chocolate or leave it. If I eat chocolate, I'm going to eat the dark chocolate. And I'm so passionate about dark chocolate. One day, Joel brought me a candy bar that was 99% chocolate. Do you know what that tastes like? I'll give you a hint. You do not want to do that. I said, Joel, even your mother. This is a little much. I gave a bite to somebody, Suzanne, I think. I didn't tell her what it was. And she said, whew, we should have dipped this in sugar first. So that's just not my thing. Well, what are you going to choose? That's what I want you to see. All of these will work. We're not going to choose a gift because it may not come. Works for somebody, some people. We may choose prayer. Now, we don't have to stand in prayer alone. This 21:22 says, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. That's all things that are scripture, all things that are paid for, all things that were in the confines of the book. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. See, when you ask, you believed it. Well, some people function really well there. People have been healed right there. They ask, they believe, they receive. They held fast, they held steady, their confession of faith, and they received just by asking, just by prayer. Now, you know, don't have to ask by yourself. You can ask in agreement, and that's Matthew 18:19. I don't want you to get so confused by the details. I want you to find out what is going to work for you. Verse 19, again, I said 18:19. Two of you agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for touching anything they shall ask. Now what we do, it shall be done for them, my Father which is in heaven, for two or three agree or gather together in my name, there am I in the midst. Okay, this really isn't about the presence of the Lord in our midst. It's about the presence of the Lord in our midst when we're praying. It's about praying people agreeing on the word and God being there to bring that word to pass. That's the impact of this. But it says two or three agree on earth as touching anything. And what we do, somebody said, would you agree with me about I need $100 extra this month? And I said, sure, I agree with you. And that's not what this verse says. It says agree for anything that you ask. We didn't even ask for a thing. You see that? We didn't ask. I just said, I agree with you. We do that all the time. I hear that all the time. I didn't climb to do that myself until I read this with my both eyes. And I thought, So I take their hand. I said, okay, let's ask now. And I said, Father, we ask now for extra $100 this month, and we thank you that we believe we've received that. Now, we know it's going to happen. We did ask, and we agreed. So I don't have to pray by myself. I don't have to stand alone. That's my point. Now look at Mark 6. There's not much said about the anointing with oil, but it is mentioned. Mark 6:13. This is the disciples Jesus sent out two by two. They said they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. They anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. So we know anointing with oil does work. We have that same in James chapter 5. You have that same witness which mentions the anointing of oil and the prayer of faith in conjunction, mentions them together. Verse 14, the final chapter of James, is any sick, let him call for the elders, the more mature, those who have grown up in God of the church, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So they're going to pray the prayer of faith, and they're going to anoint with oil. So anointing with oil is certainly scriptural. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So anointing with oil will work. Anointing of oil is used more when the tangible anointing is not available or is not present. I watch. They start with anointing with oil. About four people in, forget the oil. They're flying. You know, they're testing the waters. They're putting out their faith. And then they obviously don't, you generally don't have a tangible anointing if they laid hands on somebody. So they use the oil and say, we know about the tangible anointing. And they use the oil and the anointing falls. It happens just right along that way. And you've probably seen that as well as I have. Now, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, you know, in Philippians chapter 2, is greater than any name in heaven, earth, and hell. So obviously it's greater than disease. And that could be where my confidence is. I just say, in Jesus' name, I command disease to leave, my body to amend, and I thank you, Father. Because God, you know, the name represents all you are and all you have. It represents every asset and every liability. Thank God, God doesn't have any liabilities. But it represents all the power of heaven. If I say, in Jesus' name, Jesus comes to that. He said, in my name, there am I. When you call his name, just like you call my name, I'm going to answer. You call Jesus' name, he answers. And he said, when you call my name, I can do anything. I can overrule anything that's done in heaven, earth, and hell. So maybe that's where my confidence is, in the name. And obviously if I'm praying, if my confidence is in prayer, I'm going to pray in his name anyway. Pray to the Father in Jesus' name. So the name of Jesus works. The name of Jesus, like gifts of healings, works more for the sinner and the world than it does for the church. Now, look at 1 Corinthians. Isn't this interesting? Here is the main vessel for the church. It's understanding the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and Holy Communion. See, we are covenant children. Jesus said to the disciples, "You are my friends." That word is not used in the same sense that we would use it today. He didn't mean you're my buddy. A friend, when you were in the covenant with somebody, you were a friend of the covenant. He said, you are my friends. He said, in other words, I'm going to leave and I'm going to bring a new covenant and you're going to be a part of that new covenant. You will be a friend of the covenant. Didn't mean they were buddies. Although they must have been, because John leaned on Jesus at the supper. Now, verse 26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come, or you do demonstrate, or you do proclaim, or you do declare. In taking Holy Communion, I recognize what Jesus has done, and that's the place where most Christians could be healed if they understood that. Right there at Holy Communion, you say, I know the covenant. I know what was done by the blood. I know what was done by the broken body. And I thank you. Today my sins are remitted and today I'm healed. And you could leave the Holy Communion table perfectly whole. We don't do that because we're not as aware of those things as we should be. But next time you take communion, know this is a demonstration of his death. It's a demonstration of what you believe about his death. You're partaking that wine. You're partaking that bread. Say, this is my covenant too. And this is what I believe. And today, now you don't have any trouble believing your sins are remitted or blotted out or erased. And when you take that cup, you recognize that. But you also need to recognize the body was broken. I've been saying this a week, going to teach you Leviticus and show you Jesus' death in Leviticus. It's absolutely mind-boggling. I love to do that. Just haven't had the clearance in the Spirit to do it yet. But when you go to Leviticus, you're going to see there's a sacrifice for sin and a sacrifice for disease. All through the Scripture, all the way, two things show up. The sacrifice always covered two things. And when that man had leprosy in Leviticus, they offered the same sacrifice for the atonement of sin. They offered a sin offering for leprosy, because leprosy is a product of Adam's sin, like everything else. It's phenomenally freeing. But when you come to that, you're going to see two things here. You're going to see two things in Exodus. You're going to see two things at Passover. You're going to see two things at the sacrifices in Leviticus. You always see the two facets, a fork with two prongs, when we talk about blood. And when you come to communion, you come not just to receive forgiveness, not just to recognize I'm forgiven and I'm a child of the covenant, I'm a friend of God. Means I'm in covenant relationship with God as my Father. I'm also healed. And it's at that juncture. Now turn to 1 John 5 and let's wrap this up. That's the exact juncture that healing begins to work, that I begin to declare it. So you pick the red dress, pick the green dress, pick the chocolate cake, have the coconut cake. Lemon-filled donuts. Let's just loiter there a minute and think. I have actually a little tea in my lemon. That's the way I do it. And somebody sent me some lemons from a very special lemon tree. We just cut the last one the other day, and I went, oh, no. This is the last one, Wayne. There aren't any more of these lemons. This lady lives way up North Florida, so it's not like I can go and beg her for some more. She sent them to me because she knows I like lemon. What's going to work for you? Whatever you have the most faith in. Whatever you have faith in, get in the scripture and read it over and over and over and over again. Read it and declare it with your mouth. Now, this is prayer, 1 John 5:14. I want to tell you a story. This is the confidence, verse 14, we have in Him. Whatever method you choose, you come with confidence, with assurance. You settle it in your heart. Hands are going to be laid on me. And the minute they're laid on me, I'm healed. And you say that every single day. Hands were laid on me on Sunday night, and I am healed. The power of God is now working in my body. It's been working in my body since Sunday night, and you don't waver. Or if you choose to pray the prayer, choose to get somebody to agree with you, you ask for anointing of all. You just choose to stand on the promises of the Word. Whatever you choose, you have confidence in God. This is the confidence we have in Him. It doesn't say it's confidence we have in the Word. We have confidence in God. These are His promises. This is His voice speaking to us. This is what's going to work. If we ask anything according to His will, we ask according to His will, we hear. See, faith can ask for anything. It's whatever you want. Whatever's paid for, whatever's given, you can ask for. We know that we hear us. If whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions we desired. So it's the same thing as Mark 11:24. Now let me tell you, every year they have dogs of the year in 5 categories. Do y'all watch the dogs of the year? Just 2 of us? Well, you miss a blessing. You do. And they're in 5 categories: a working dogs, which is your police dogs and your fire dogs, and disability dogs, and companion dogs, which is your nursing home dogs and those kind of thing. Anyway, 5 categories. A number of years back, the dog of the year was a disability dog, a tiny little terrier. I heard the story before I saw his picture, and I thought, it sounded like he must be huge, you know. And as I saw him, I thought, oh my goodness, he knew over 125 commands. Well, the man who he lived with had gone to bed, and the dog was restless, and he tried to interpret the dog's restlessness, but he couldn't figure out what the dog was trying to say. He went through every command the dog knew, and he thought, you know, that's just, I don't know what the dog's saying. So he decided the only thing he figured that the dog would not know how to say to him was if there's somebody in the yard. He said he don't believe the dog would know how to communicate that, so he thought he'd get up and look out the windows. So he got up, walked into the kitchen to look out the windows, and collapsed on the floor and went into a coma. The dog, I actually saw this phone. It's actually intriguing. Do you know they have a phone for dogs? It's actually intriguing. He went to the phone. It was sitting on the floor under a chair. And he mashed the button. It has one center rectangular button. I don't know if it's connected to 911 or some special disability service. But he mashed the button, started barking. Now, here's what I want you to get. The lady that answered the phone said, I hear you, and I'm coming. Do you get that? It doesn't matter what you decide to do. God hears you. And He is going to do what you've asked Him to do because He paid for it 2,000 years ago. It is yours now today. Well, the EMT people and the emergency room people said that man would have been dead by morning. He would never have survived the night that dog actually saved his life. Is that an amazing story? And every time, you know, you're limping along and you think, I'm not going to make it. You ever have those moments you think, nobody knows the trouble I've seen? I mean, you just think, this is it. I'm going under for the third time and I can't even swim. I can hear that operator say, Becky, I hear you. And I'm coming. That's why, having done all to stand there for. That's why I keep standing. Because he said, it shall be according to whatever I ask for. Is that amazing? Oh, we thank you, our Father. Mighty, mighty Father. What a wonderful God you are to provide healing for us and to give us avenues to access that healing that's paid for, to give us some choices. We thank you, our Father. Today we boldly declare that by the stripes of Jesus we are healed. Today we declare you sent your word and healed us. Today we ask and believe. Today we refuse to waver. And we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.